And it's the first time I saw them perform, and the first time I really heard that song being sung. And I'm very, very touched and very blessed. I'm also very blessed to be back in the house of the Father. I have many fond memories of my time here in this house. There was a time when I was over there in front of that mixer on the floor, and my wife lost me. And she looked all over the floor for me, and finally we saw each other about half an hour later, and she said, "Where were you? I couldn't find you." She said, "I looked all over the floor for you." And I said, "Did you look up on the ceiling?" That's how I felt. By the presence of God in this house, by the love of the Father, and by the love of many in this house, I was touched. And there was another time I was right by here on the floor, and Heidi Baker was speaking at that time, and I remembered Heidi's testimony of how she fell on the floor for a long time. And my prayer was, "Lord, I don't want to stay that long." But when I was on the floor, I felt his hands on my ankles, and they kept me to the floor. And then I felt the presence of God and the touch of God and just his love, and he began to minister to me. There was another time I was by that door over there, and I didn't want to come in because I was conferenced out. and I was being dragged by my sister to this house from Ottawa. And so I came and I stood by over there, and there was this house was full. And so I remember John Arnott and Carol were praying. I mean, we had lines way back behind this wall, and people were lining up, and I stood by the door and I was just watching. I was tired. And I remember just thinking, John came by and he said, "Kenny, can I pray for you?" And he said, "No, it's okay. Go to the next one." And he, graciously went on and just prayed for him. People were just falling under the power of the Lord. And I stood there and I was wrestling with the Lord. I was talking to him about where I was in my journey with him. And I remember hearing the words of the Lord speaking to my life. And the Lord said, "You will never know how much I want more of you than you want more of me." He said that 3 times, and it broke me. It broke me to a new place of intimacy, of longing to be with the Father, longing to be in the presence of the Holy One, the Ancient One, the One that gave His life for me and for you, and the One that gave such an outpouring of His blessings in those days. I broke down by the door. No one prayed for me, but I felt the love of the Father and the touch of His hand on my life. And then I remember Heidi Baker crawling on the stage, and I was intrigued by that. and she was over here somewhere on the floor, and she had a mic, and she began to speak these words, and she said, "The Lord says, you will never know how much I want more of you than you want more of me." And that got me further undone. Isn't that wonderful when the Lord confirms what He desires to speak into your life? And so I have many fond memories. I remember another time I was up by those stairs, and I was just, this house was packed. I remember I was up on top of the stairs, sort of maybe the third one on top, and just looking over. And I remember, as the people were praying in the different spirit languages, there was no music at the time, everybody was praying. I literally saw a cloud begin to form just up here. I saw it, and the louder and the more the voices in the spirit were unified, the thicker the cloud got. And when the voices came down, the cloud would begin to disappear. And then as the voices would intensify again, the cloud would also get thicker. I remember what the Lord did in those days. And as I come before you today with a message and a story of what the Lord is doing in our nation with the First Nations and the Inuit and the Métis, and how they are taking their rightful place in this hour to be able to bring a healing and a release for our nation. I cannot do so without remembering all that the Lord has done all these years. And yesterday I was with Terry and a few others at the crossroads, and we were just sharing, and they were very excited to tell me about what they have found in the history of this area going back 1800s, and how there was a tribe, the Mississauga tribe, sort of an offspring of the Chippewa tribe in this area. How there was such a revival in this area, in Mississauga. There was this historical revival, and I believe this house had the privilege of being able to tap into this ancient well of revival. So I'm remembering what the Lord did, not so much as what we did to each other. We need to learn to look at the things that give life, the things that give hope in our nation at this hour, so that we begin to focus on what the Lord is doing and what He wants to do, yet even more still, with His people. And so I believe the Lord is going to do even greater things in the days ahead of you in this house. I believe that. Because everywhere I go, I ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want to speak to these people? I know I have a message, but that's my message. That's what I carry in my heart. That's what I carry as a conviction. But Lord, what are you saying? I want to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking. I want to shut out all the things that are before me or behind me. I want to be able to sit before the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you're saying now for these people? I don't want to react to the past. As much as I remember the good things, I'm learning and yearning to be before the Lord and say, God, what is it that you are still desiring to do that we have not yet seen, that we have not yet gone this way before? Father, reveal it to us, show it to us. And so as I came here, the Lord began to speak. And the Lord began to say to me that it's harvest time. Let me say it again. This is the words of the Lord. The Lord said, it's harvest time. Now, When the Lord began to speak those words into my life, I knew that the Lord was speaking into the church, into the whole family of God in our nation. You see, we've been climbing up the hill. We've been striving to take one more step and try and get one more glimpse of the kingdom of God or one more touch. And climbing up the hill. And sometimes we look at where we have come from and we get caught up in those things. The hard walks, the tough times, the difficult times. But yet, I know that the Lord wants to do even more. And let me say what the Lord said a number of years ago in this house when he said to me, I want more of you than you will ever know how much you want more of me. See, God wants more of us. And we've got to be in that place where we're just wanting and desiring yet to be closer to God. You know, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting what is behind me and straining or striving to reach the goal that is before, to win the prize that is set for me, the crown of glory, to take my rightful place as a co-heir, as an heir in the kingdom of God. Moving ahead. It doesn't mean that you forget. You know, being wounded, being hurt, is not easy to forget. But with the help of God, we will come to that place where he is able to say, I have forgiven you of your sins, and I have cast them out as far as from the east as from the west. I will remember them no more. We will come to that place. I know that because that's the word of God. And the very DNA of God is in us. We are made in his image. We therefore can be like him, to be able to operate in the authority that he has longed for his children to be able to operate in his kingdom here on earth. We are living in exciting times. When the Lord spoke, he said, it's harvest time. He showed me a picture, and I saw this image that I was coming in a jet, in an airplane. And I was about to land at an airport, a regular landing strip. And then suddenly the airplane swerved, and it landed on a suburban street. And then I asked the pilot, I said, what are you doing? And the pilot said to me, you are not no longer going to, you're not going to land in the normal airstrips. You are going to land in exactly where I tell you that you're going to land into. You're going to be exactly where you need to be. And as I was coming out of this airplane, this image that I was seeing, as I was coming out of this airplane, a few things dropped out of my suitcase, and I noticed them, and I started to pick them up. And the pilot said to me, and one more thing, you are not going to lose what I have given you. It is harvest time. This is the word of the Lord. And what I began to see as I began to ask the Lord, I got very excited in my spirit. Because, you know, I know what the journey I've walked in as a believer and a follower of Jesus. I know my journey. I know my wife's journey. I know some of my team's journey. I know maybe some of your journey. It has not been easy. But nevertheless, I believe we're about to enter into a season that is, you're going to reap the harvest. And so the people that have plowed the ground in the early 1800s in this area, in this Mississauga area. You're about to reap the harvest. You are about to reap a harvest. There's an ancient well in this place. And I believe the Lord is going to use the First Nations of this area. So, pastors and leaders, you need to get a hold of some of the Mississauga tribe. They're still here. Walk with them. Get to know them. Sit with them. Pray with them. And when the people that have originally been exposed to this ancient well, when they sit with these people, this house, and the people around this area, guess what's going to happen? We are going to be restored in our relationships. We're going to partner. And we're going to walk in a season of revival that we have never experienced before. And this is what the Lord has been speaking to me about. Now, the journey of freedom is not a new journey. It's an old journey. In fact, it began with Adam when he messed up and got kicked out. And he lost that day-to-day fellowship with the one that he made him. And thus began a journey to reconcile himself with God. And then when God was tired of all that sin, and God said, I'm sorry, I made man. God was looking for a way to reach his people. And so the great flood came. Do you know we've had stories of the great flood long before I ever met any white man? Long before I ever had this book, the Bible, the Word of God, long before I ever read the story of Noah's Ark and the great flood, our people had legends. They had stories of how this world was flooded over at one time. Now, we did not know the story of the great flood. But these stories were passed on generation to generation for thousands of years. We did not know there was such a man named Noah who walked blameless and who was righteous before God. And God was pleased with such a man that he would save him and his family. We did not know that there was such a book as the New Testament where the promises are that as for me and my house, we will be saved. Maybe this whole prophetic drama is true. Maybe there is some. Did you know that our people had a prophecy thousands of years ago before the white man ever came, before the church ever established, before the governments were ever established in this land? They had a prophecy that one day a black book would come to our shores and it would speak of the truth. Thousands of years ago. Now what I hold in my hand is a black book. Quite old. It looks ancient, but it's my favorite Bible. It's black. And I carry around my Bible and I say, could it be this is the book? I go to as many reservations as I can. And I say, could it be that our people, this is the book that they were talking about? And I tell my people, oh, by the way, this is not a white man's gospel. I tell my people, you know, this book came from the Jewish people. A tribe. 12 tribes. Nevertheless, a tribal people, just like the first of all First Nations. They're the ones that God chose to be His people. And they're the ones that God chose for them to be an example. And for them, for us, to be able to look to and be able to see that all the promises of God are going to be fulfilled for them, and that we're grafted in. I like that. We're grafted in. So whatever God promised to them is promised to us if we believe. Wow. Simple, isn't it? Well, it's the heart of God. So this journey of freedom did not begin a few months ago. Or it did not begin when the Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, stood up on June 11, 2008 in the House of Commons and said, "I apologize for the historic wrongs and abuses that our government caused you." He said that, "I apologize for those profound failures of our government." And our people wept across this land. They had longed to hear such an apology. They were looking for a healing. They were looking for something that could give them hope. And the Prime Minister got up in the House of Commons, and when he spoke those words, he brought a flicker of hope. And our people wept across this land. 140 years plus of an assimilation policy in the land. Have broken up the family. This is why when the Gerard and Peter sang, it was a family. To me, it was a family, a practical application of a restored family. That which the enemy thought he was going to destroy, God is restoring in our days. And not just First Nation, because we thought we understood what the Lord was doing. We thought that if we could mobilize our people all across our nation, if they could come to a place where they can respond to the apology, maybe something will happen. But you know, before we could grab a hold of the hope that the Prime Minister was offering, guess what he did? He shattered the hope when he said, "Forgive us." Because there was so much pain, there was so much hurt, there was so much wounding. It was not that simple. 140 years plus 500 years of colonization. To be able to come to that place and quickly say, "I forgive." We had to go back to the book, the black book, find out what forgiveness is all about. Find out about the Father that really loved all the people that He created, that He gave His only begotten Son, His only Son. He gave Him up so that through Him, on the cross, on His death, you and I and my people, the First Nations and the Inuit and the Métis, would have salvation. Amen. They would have forgiveness of sin. They would have the hope that they need. They would have the life that they need through this book, the Word of God. And so as I began to travel across the nation, God just began to reveal more and more, this is bigger. Bigger than the First Nations and Inuit and Métis standing up before the Prime Minister and saying, "We accept your apology and we forgive and we release forgiveness." This is much bigger than us. Even though we need to take our place right now, this is bigger. Bigger than us. Could it be that the Lord is speaking to the whole nation of Canada? Could it be that God is laying down a foundation called forgiveness to release the greatest revival yet for our nation? I believe in that so much that I will give everything I've got. I have never come to a place in my walk with the Lord that when I say I take ownership of all that I have ever done to people. When I time and time and time again and again and again posture myself before the Lord and say, Lord, I failed. I failed my neighbor. I failed my wife. I failed my children. I failed my grandchildren. I failed my people. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to rise up to that place where I can walk before you, blameless and righteous. I need to be there, Father. I want to be there. You know, when Jesus was approached by his disciples, and the disciples said, how many times should I forgive the one who sins against me? 7 times? And the Lord said, no, 70 times 7. Do your math. In a day. 70 times 7 in a day. In a year. In the rest of your life. You know, we can do it. Because the Father's love is so big. In His love, we can do all things. And so when God began to speak to us, and we had this vision to go across the nation, we began to see this is so much the Lord. It's not about us. It is about us taking a place, but we do so in Him, not because it's our time as the first peoples. No, we realize because the Lord wants to use us at this time. And so we are posturing ourselves, we're going across the land, and we're talking to people, and we're telling people, you know what? Offense is not a respecter of persons. Offense is not a respecter of how young or how old, or whether you're First Nation or Inuit or Métis or white or black or Chinese. It does not matter. You've been offended by someone. Somebody has touched you in the wrong way and turned you off. Well, I'm here to say the Lord wants to turn you back on. He wants to turn you back on with the ability to be able to say, I can forgive, because He did that for us. Why not us? Why cannot we turn to our neighbor and be the children of God? Be the kingdom of God. It's not that the kingdom is out there somewhere. It's here. It's in you. And you walk in it. You know, when I began to pray and I began to ask the Lord about what He was expecting of us as a nation, you know, as I journey, I hear the cries of our people. There's many, many people across this nation praying, and there have been for thousands of years. Our forefathers, your great-great-grandfathers, my great-great-grandfathers, and people of old have been longing for and praying for that such a day would come where you and I would be able to stand together, lock arms together, join hearts together, join voices together across this nation, and break down dividing walls and be able to come together and say, we're going to be the people that God is looking for. We're going to be the ones that are going to raise the standard, the moral integrity of this nation. We're going to be the ones that will have a vision for the future. We're going to be the ones that are going to leave a legacy for all our children. And one day they're going to look back to our time and they're going to say, my father took a stand, my mother took a stand, my grandfather took a stand for me. They did not give up on me. They'll look to our day today. They'll remember this day that we sat together in the house of God, in the house of the Lord, and we began to press in. We began to hold on to the things that He held on to us for. And we'll begin to say, this is our time. It's harvest time. It is harvest time for your life. It's harvest time for your family. It's harvest time for your marriage. It's harvest time for your business. It's harvest time for your community. It's harvest time for Canada. We need to have a vision. We need to know and trust and believe that the Lord knows what He's doing. I think we've got in the way far too long. We've been in the way with all our problems. We've been crying out to God, for ourselves. What if we cry to God because we just want Him to hear we love Him? What if we shifted around? What if we change? What if we come in? What if we run into the house of the Lord and we say to Him, Father, we love You. We want to be in Your house. We want to be where You are. We want to be the ones. We want to be the ones that will tarry still in the presence of God. And we will, I know the Lord will show us what vision is going to be. I want to just look at a verse that I shared with the Six Nations the other night. In Proverbs 4, verse 18, here's what vision is for me. It's the path of the righteous. It's like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. That needs to be the vision. Not the darkness, not the bleakness, not a reaction to all those things, but when you rise up in the morning and you look towards the east and you see this little flicker of light coming over the treetops, over the housetops, wherever you might be. But when you begin to see this flicker of light, it begins to shine bright and then brighter and brighter and brighter until the full light of day is upon you. That's what vision is. That's what I'm believing for. I'm contending for our nation to once again capture the heart of God, the vision of God, the hope of God, the dream of God. So I'm praying and I'm believing that we're going to all get to that place. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. You know, Martin Luther King spoke of Canada in this way. He said when his people were slaves, they used to sing spiritual songs. And they used to look for hope. And so they would sing about the North Star. The North Star to them was heaven. And heaven to them was Canada. The North Star pointed to their freedom, to our nation. Isn't that something? I didn't know about this. But the North Star was where his people, slaves, bondage to slavery, their hope, their dream was that they would look up into the heavens and they would find the North Star, and then they would sing this song called Drinking the Gourd, and it would sing about the Big Dipper and how if they followed the celestial map, it would lead them to Canada. And they would find freedom. What if we can come to a place where we just gather together in one central place and be able on the foundation of forgiveness release forgiveness one to another and to the atmosphere of our nation, and be able to release forgiveness into the governments of the land, and begin to release forgiveness from church to church to church to church, and from people to people to people. What if we can release forgiveness in such a manner that we would touch the heart of the Father? And He would be so pleased, and He would say, Sandra, Steve, ask of me of anything, anything, and I'll give it to you. What if we touch the Father's heart in a manner that He gets excited that His children have got it? They've captured His vision, His dream. And then we began to walk in that. Be able to walk before God, blameless, righteous. I believe Canada is going to be more than a North Star. I believe Canada is going to be a nation, a land that is going to be shining brighter than the North Star. And I believe Canada is going to be the light that is raised up on the hilltop. And many people are going to look to Canada. They're going to say, look what the Lord has done for Canada. And because of our healing, because of the restoration that is in us and through us and with us, people are going to run to Canada and they're going to say, we want what you've got. We want healing. We want freedom. What if we can come to that place one time? One day, 2 days, 3 days. And being able to break down dividing walls across this nation. And come together. I'm inviting all of you, as I do for the rest of the people in our nation across Canada, I'm inviting you to come to Ottawa for 3 days, June 11, 12, and 13. June 11 at the Ottawa Civic Center, we're just going to gather together. And by the way, it's a small place. There's only room for 7,777.7. If you don't register on our website, www.iforgive.ca, you're going to miss out. And you're going to have to sit in the parking lot. But on that day, I am believing for that the church will come together with the First Nation, the Inuit, and the Métis, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to press in together and let the Lord show us what needs to happen. If the Anglican Church wants to forgive to the First Peoples, the Presbyterian Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the United Church, and all the churches, if they want to come to that place of renewed reconciliation, so be it. On June 12, we have invited the Prime Minister of Canada. We have invited all the members of Parliament, we've invited the Senate of Canada, we've invited the provincial leaders, we've invited the territorial leaders, we've invited the municipal leaders, we've invited the world. And we want to say to the Prime Minister, whether he shows up or not, we're just going to speak and release forgiveness. And it's time to just grab a hold of the harvest that is before us. And then we want to be a culture of a people of honor. We want to bless one another like we've never blessed each other before. We want to honor the government. We want to honor the church leaders. We want to honor the nations and our own people, the First Nation leaders, the Inuit leaders, the Métis leaders. We want to honor them. We just simply want to walk and operate in the love of the Father and just bless and bless and bless. You know, your motto is that we may walk in the love of God and give it away. This is what we need to do. And on June 13 is the day that the heavens are going to be jealous. June 13 is when the angels are just going to, they're going to be so jealous. Because on that day, on the third day, I like third days. On the third day, we are going to celebrate life. We're going to celebrate freedom. We're going to sing the songs of deliverance. And all of heaven will be quiet. And they'll listen. And we're going to dance a dance of deliverance. And all of heaven and the great cloud of witnesses are going to watch. And they're going to long to be with us. They're going to watch Sandra break out in a hip-hop dance. And she'll swirl and flip backwards and do the most impossible moves. Because she will be free. I can see Mark Neugebauer doing the moonwalk. And he'll begin to walk in not just on the floor doing a moonwalk, but he'll be spiritually up, you know, lifted higher. On June 13, we're just going to celebrate life. We're going to release the sound of life. We're going to just release hope to our people, to our nations. And then we want our children. I'm glad the children are coming down. This is prophetic. We want the children to be a part of what God is doing. Because we want to see the restoration of family. The youngest ones to the oldest ones. This is the vision. And so I'm going to challenge you. If you go on our website, we need your help. We need you to walk this journey with us because we can't do it by ourselves. We have a small band of 12 people from people you've never heard of. But they're the greatest gift to Louise and I. They've given me hope. The young ones that travel with me, they've given me life. They spur me on with their excitement of what our generation is able to do at this hour. How much more when we get together and we do it for the kingdom. So I just want you to stand up, Sandra, if you can come up. I don't know how you want to do this, but I want to tell you that our people, our team, is going to have little cards like this by the front doors of our team, Bill and Steve and Sarah, if you guys can, by the door. We have little cards we want to give you. And it'll give you a little bit more details and the website and all things. But I just want to quickly pray that the Father would unite us, would capture us, that we would be captured by the love of the Father and by the dream of our Father, by the hope of our Father, the vision of our Father, that we would be so propelled from today on that you're going to be so hungry. I'm praying that you're going to be so hungry, not for lunch, but you're going to be so hungry for the things of God. It coming here in the house once or twice or three times a week is not enough. But it'll be more, and there'll be more. Let's believe that we're not just going to do the same old thing, what happened, but we're going to do a new thing in this season. Let's believe that God is going to pour out His blessings on Toronto like never before. I believe in that. This is what I'm expecting in my spirit. So grab a hold of somebody's hand. if you can. And I just want to pray over you and just say, Father, as we join hands before you and this great cloud of witnesses, as we join hands because of your black book, the Word of God, as we join hands because of your love, as we join hands because of the authority that is in your Word, as we join hands because of the power in the faith of a multitude, standing before your green with one another, Lord, would you release today fresh vision, and would you just refresh your people from their minds, their emotions, their spirits, and their beings, that today they will walk out of this place with just a renewed vision of who they are and what they can do for your kingdom now. Now. And what they can do in the days to come. Father, I want to thank you for the miracles that you're already doing in the hearts of people, for enabling them with the ability, the capacity to forgive. Thank you, Father. I thank you for that harvest. It's harvest time. We're going to walk in the season of harvest. We're going to do all that you've asked us. We're going to go to new places. We're going to do new things in a new way. And you're going to pour out fresh new wine. And you're going to show your people that, Lord, this is what you've been longing for, is that your kingdom will be expressed in a greater measure because of the greater measure of faith that has been united by your people. That none is alone, but all of them are being joined together. I speak life. I speak blessings into this house. Lord, the vision, the dreams that they have, Father God, that you will do even more. More what they are hoping to do. But you'll surprise them even now, Father God, of the open heavens and the pouring out of resources and much more. Lord, revelation upon revelation will just be poured out into this place. Dreams and visions, Father. Let the testimony of Jesus begin even yet to be expanded and deposited into the hearts of your people gathered here and standing in the gap for the many that are not. I thank you, Father, that you said there are more with us than those against us. I thank you, Father, that you said that our camp is too small and that we need to expand. So I thank you for the expansion. I thank you that there's much more yet ahead of us. And so I bless the leaders in this house. I bless the intercessors. I bless the people, Lord. I bless the children. I thank you for the restoration of family. Thank you, Jesus. To your honor and to your glory, we come together. And we bless you, Father. In Jesus' name.